Welcome back to The Impossible. It's, ladies and gentlemen, it is Saha Says, where we actually normally would try to go over some kind of headlines and make this of some kind of value, but really at this point, it's my fault. We are here and we're back. We've been away for quite some time. And so, while some of us are on camera and drinking large bottles of booze, others of us are drinking coffee that's left over from earlier in the day, and I can't even describe what some of us are doing on the other end of their video line. But thank you for still trying to see what happened if your subscription went afoul somehow. I appreciate very much, I'm sure we all do, that you're still there, and I'm hoping you're still listening to this, because, oh my gosh, if you could see this, it's a good thing this isn't a video podcast, because right now my co-hosts, who include Coop, who is a biohacker, who actually is also front and center on Dangerous Minds podcast, is doing unspeakable things to try to break my concentration. Also with us is Pinky, who is the CCDC captain for the Southwest Regional CCDC at UTSA, if that wasn't enough alphabet soup for you. And me, I'm Sciatic Nerd, the guy who went off and kind of burned out slash got too busy slash what in the world are we doing? So there is actually no rundown tonight. So because of my lack of concentration, basically I'm now looking at a cat. That's awesome. So before we get going, and I would like to apologize first to our sponsor, Axion VPN, who actually makes a secure connection possible, which is something apparently I'm not able to do, which is make a decent connection with my friends and co-hosts. However, taking this on the chin, yes, I said on the chin, Coop, that's just the chin. So I want to say first that we are probably just going to talk through some things that have been going on. In other words, what projects we have been working on in our absence in your ears, among other places. You know, well, okay, no, you should only be hearing us between your ear spaces. I don't want to know about your other places in that regard. I'm talking about what things have we been doing and catch up with one another, if that's okay with you guys. You guys good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with, oh my God, places.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, great. So I'd like to start, if we can, I'd ask Pinky what you've been up to. I understand you went on a trip in some of this hiatus time.
I didn't necessarily go on a trip. Instead, we actually had a local, I mean, kind of local slash remote competition just yesterday, actually. So in this last month, obviously, as anyone in school, you know, either online, locally, whatever, has realized that the September timeframe is our time for starting school, which means hell. You know, sure, starts late mid-August, but let's be honest, none of it really starts up till August. And I did have my conference in San Diego this summer. I also went to Seattle, so I guess let me just recoup on everything. So, the summer, I was one of the lame ones, and I did not go to DEF CON, partially because of, you know, funding.
You're a student. What's not to understand is that you're not lame. You just didn't get a chance to go. And there are plenty of other conferences and things and opportunities coming up. Just wanted to throw that in there. Sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly. DFW B-sides.
Oh, we'll get to upcoming cons. Oh, we'll get there, Jerry.
Stay in tune. Basically, so right after you guys actually went to DEF CON, I headed to Seattle. And I went to a conference called DFRWS, which is the Digital Forensics Workshop. It's now an actual conference. It used to just be a workshop. And it's a really interesting place because, you know, DEF CON, besides all those, are really practical. I think everyone would agree on. They're not very academic and whatnot. DFRWS is a very weird blending of academia and practical.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Did you say that DEF CON is not academic and it's pretty practical? I have to disagree. Nothing is practical about DEF CON. Not a thing in the world.
It's not academic either.
Come on, the lines are.
Well, no, that's like the Disney level lines. Like Disney's going, oh wow, we've got efficiency behind this thing. Hey, look, for all the volunteerism that goes on to make DEF CON, and it's amazing, and it's overcrowded, and it's insane, and people, I've actually seen a dude who aluminum foiled his phone, sure, but fine, you know, that's, tinfoil hat jokes aside, it's true, a guy actually tinfoil taped or wrapped his wallet like it was a piece of meatloaf that you'd take out of the fridge, and if you're vegan, maybe it was part of your soy loaf. I don't know what kind of loaf you have if you're vegan, I apologize. I'm not
that
sure about your
loaf. Soy loaf is vegan by any means.
No, it's not?
No, and the, you know, aren't the bars like making people sick?
Wait.
These days? That was in the news this week.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that. I had no idea. Okay, well, there you go. So if your loaf is making you sick, film at 11. You can't unthink it. It's your own fault if you're visualizing.
Yeah.
But okay, so anyway, DEF CON, not practical. Back to the forensics conference. Go.
So what I mean by academic is actual the fact that DFRWS does have a publication, and it is a peer-reviewed conference. That's what I mean. DEF CON, they just make their decision. I'm not quite sure how, but I don't think it's peer-reviewed. So
it's all by committee.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's a lovely board you have.
Well, no, this is just me paying you back for the fun that you were having before while I was attempting to speak. I'm showing off a blinky light object. No, don't do that. No, Coop, don't do that. And by the way, realize... you're like trying to get him to do the truffle shuffle up there. That's terrific. And that's why we don't actually air the video as we communicate with each other. We said, no, we want to make sure that we have, line of sight, eye contact to kind of get an idea of what the others are doing. And now I'm just ashamed that I actually can see, because I almost wish I could bleach out my eyes or something. Sorry. So the conference.
Anyway, back to the conference. Yeah, please. Literally. So it was interesting. You get your traditional academic stuff of, things that might happen 5-10 years in the future. But one of the more interesting things that really stands out in my memory, to be honest, is the fact that there was a presentation about how one of the most common write blockers, and I'm sorry that I don't have it pulled up right now and can't tell you the model and make and all that, is actually hackable. It actually has an SSH server listening on it. So you could hypothetically SSH into it and screw with how to, it's technically supposed to write block, so therefore, if you're viewing a hard drive that's evidence, you can't modify it. Technically speaking, you could then SSH into it, turn that functionality off, or do your own corruption, therefore corrupting the evidence, screwing up the trial.
Interesting.
So that was probably one of the more, eye-opening things from a more interesting standpoint.
Well, that's a practical applied thing. I mean, that's cool. Was there any discussion about one-way hashing functions or crypto or... Because that's where my brain goes, so I'm just curious.
So DFRWS traditionally talks more about is actual traditional forensics, during the incident response and, investigation aspect. What do you do, how to improve the process? How do you make it go faster? How do you get more untraditional data? Memory forensics, a lot of the volatility talk, some of the people who go into the coding and some of the plugins are often there. So it's a really interesting talk. Again, maybe not as fun as DEF CON, but it's still interesting.
Well, I do have some choice things to share about DEF CON when it's my turn. But so did you meet new people? Because for me, half the thing about the con experience is meeting folks and connecting with people that you don't always get to see.
This was my second year, actually. Last year, my PhD advisor also brought me there. Last year, it was in Philadelphia. This year, it was in Seattle. Next year, it's actually going to be in Austin. So any of the locals, if you have the extra $400 or $500, however much it costs, I'd recommend going. I should be there as a student volunteer, so you'll see me. It's local, so at least we don't have to pay for a hotel and all that.
Nice.
So I got to see a lot of people I've seen before. Naval Postgraduate School, someone who I always end up networking with. There's something that UTSA often works with. And there's just a few people I saw around again, maybe half the people I knew, half the people I didn't. So again, it's a really fun way to start networking. It's a smaller conference. There's probably only 50, 60 people. So while it's small, you also get that unique opportunity of getting into network people that you don't traditionally get.
Well, okay. So but again, I'm asking on a personal level, because for me, everything about this stuff is personal. So when you got there and you're like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in a year, or did you meet new people and make some new contacts, people that you'd want to continue like talking to?
So for me, it wasn't so much the new people. A lot of them only showed up maybe one day. So I found it hard to network with them when I showed up all 3 days. Instead, I personally found that I, strengthened some of my previous support. Last year, I was so nervous because it was like one of my first conferences. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a new researcher. I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything practical, academic, whatever, any of that. So this year was finally my year to get over the nerves.
Nice.
People out here are like, oh, yeah, we recognize your name, because for whatever reason, they want to keep calling me Candace. Apparently, the year I showed up, a girl whose name's Candace, who looks similar to me, stopped showing. So everyone thought I was Candace when I wasn't.
Candace's doppelganger, film at 11.
Exactly. So this year was my year. I actually made quite a few friends with people like NIST and all that. So
cool.
It was really strengthening to get to the point that next year when I see them, I won't be nervous and we can just recommunicate.
Sweet. So then I'm going to ask Coop, man, since you've been busy as a beaver, man, you've been actually cranking out stuff on the Dangerous Minds podcast, among other things. How's that been going? And have you what else have you been up to?
Yeah, as far as Dangerous Minds, it's just a huge learning curve every week, it seems like. But that's the whole reason I get into it, is meet new people and not kill them, like, you know, a Marine or, you know, somebody might make a joking remark about traveling the world and doing that. Instead, I'm doing it virtually, meeting new people that are so much smarter than me and learning from them. And then using Google search engine and a dictionary to understand what in the world they're saying. As well as learning a lot about Audacity as a recording editing tool, and you know, really learning what waveforms stand for.
So you're saying you can see the these things on sight now? You recognize what an looks like and what an is.
No, oh, guys,
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, and likes too. That yeah. There are certain phrases now that just make me want to stab somebody.
You mean like fix it in post? Coop, do you mean fix it in post?
I sense some anger there. You know, do we need to talk this out?
I need a safe space, man.
Yeah.
Safe word.
Yeah,
safe space.
Indeed. But safe space. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Of, going just, back before the wheels fell off.
The wheels were ever yeah. on?
The wheels ever on?
Needless to say, this is an episode of how can we distract the person talking any which way we can.
But you find that the most fun, I think. Oh, wait, what is that? That's cool.
Yeah, and it's when I have to definitely say kitty and move on. And not look at the screen and actually think about what I'm saying. Much like one thing I've found in Dangerous Minds, it's bad when you really get into it because, you know, some of these guys, like the conversation we had today, was a guy that works in gene editing and life extension. And,
oh, wow.
You know, half the stuff they're talking about, it's like, holy crap, you're really enjoying the conversation. And you lose where you are in the rundown and who's got the next question.
Right.
And, you know, it's definitely like sciatic's job of shepherding a herd of cats. And these aren't just regular fluffy cats. These are cats that have been sprayed with water from a fire hose while the sirens and lights are going. Yeah, it's not an easy gig, but it's a hell of a lot of fun.
It is. And, yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And building it up from, you know, web page, coding another web page, already working on version 2 while updating version 1 constantly, adding show notes, and finding new speakers, setting up live recordings later on. It's just crazy the snowball effect, you might say, of if you didn't already feel busy, how much more busy can you be when you're not even getting paid to do it? It feels more than a full-time job ever should be a full-time job. It's definitely given me a new respect for anyone that is a founder or does a startup because of just the sheer amount of stuff you have to do and the lack of time to do it. Plus further on, you know, working with raising a kid, going to school, working on that bachelor's degree.
Yep.
I'm not working on a PhD like one of us here. and it's, you know, it just makes me, you know, make the joke of how many balls can you juggle at once without dropping one?
Well, but the thing is, it's actually okay to drop a couple of the things that you're doing in favor of getting other stuff that you need to get to done. See, this is a labor of love. Podcasts like this, like Dangerous Minds. Now, it may be groundbreaking. It may be interesting, but it's not as though you're getting, as you said, you're not getting, you know, reimbursed for that time. And it turns out, you know, as much as we may not enjoy the phrasing, time is money. It's worth something, right? And the one thing you can, the only thing that you can ever give that you cannot truly get back from is your time. And that time that you guys give to doing Saha Says, that you get to in trying to keep connected with me when I get socially overwrought, you know what? I appreciate it. And I can't say it enough because I don't say it enough, actually. And so thank you guys for being here and reconnecting when I have dropped the ball. So there's still room to grow, and I hope you're willing to continue putting up with that. But back to it, you were telling us about other things because how our class is going. I mean, this is what this is truly about, right? This is about growing in your own skin, in your profession, your chosen profession. So how's that going for you?
School's fine, as any student would say, painful, yet a good test of flexibility of your mind, what have you, really. And as far as learning as well, further, when I first got into this, I had like 2 implants. I've got a 3rd one, thanks to DEF CON. And now through friends, I now have 4 more to add. Oh, wow. As I have time. And so it's also fun just learning about application of it and use of it. Like one of the things I've been putting off for ages is actually getting my car to actually work, start and unlock via implants. And I figured out finally how to do the doors, but it's that furthermore step of getting it to be like a push button start after I scan the chip, because, like a lot of cars, they've got a little RFID chip in it that the car itself then recognizes as being, yes, you've inserted your key into the dash. Thanks, Prius, for that extra stab. Now I got to stick the key into my dash in order to recognize that it's there.
Really?
And then be able to do push button start. So
I'm surprised because some of the more recent cars, it seems to be Prox only in some models. Yeah. It might be specific to the Prius alone. I don't know.
I think it's because I have lower end one.
Could be. But can we argue it would be more secure if you would still be forced to enter your key? Maybe.
True.
Well, yeah, and actually it is technically, you're right, Pinky. Go ahead.
For example, FreeBSD has mentioned to me multiple occasions, and to be fair, this was multiple years ago, but for example, like when the first, with the cars that came out with like the keypad to enter in, one of his friends had one, and they're like, hi, you can't hack. And he just pressed all the keys at the same time, jamming it.
Nice.
And he just got into the key, or to the car. So, like Coop said in the chat, that you could argue that maybe the car, the car key and your RFID could be a second factor type of thing. That way, maybe we can mitigate some of the concerns that are starting to arise, thanks to DEF CON, Black Hat, all those of hacking cars. Why don't we introduce second factor to cars?
And see, that's a very, very good point. And, there's something actually about, as you play with the technology, because The first time I actually had to try and use a push to start vehicle, it was someone I was at an event with had gotten physically sick, and it was their car. And so they became physically ill, kind of making a tiny scene, and they said, gotta go and see if they'd either taken too much of their medicine or took it too late and they hadn't eaten or something. And so they had to be piled into the car and it was time to leave. But I'd never driven a push to start vehicle before, which shouldn't be a big deal. But I'd never done it. It wasn't like I could ask them a question because they were somewhat incapacitated at the time. And so you're sitting there kind of panicked because this person is obviously not doing well. And you're like, okay, so I need to move this thing and get it going. And you're sitting basically off on your own trying to sort it out. And this particular model was Prox only. It didn't have a physical put the key into the dash like Coop is describing. So that was surprising to me. But now that you start to, okay, it's been a few years since that took place. A lot more models have it as a standardized feature. And so I find myself looking for the nuances, right? It's kind of like the first time you ever played with iOS. Whenever you did it, maybe it was just enough that you could figure out how to get apps loaded, right? Maybe that was your first day experience. But now maybe you've had iOS devices for years, and so you're like, oh yeah, so I recognize nuances and differences, and that makes a difference to you. Have you seen now with, and I'm curious to know, Coop, how you found which frequency it was that you were hunting for? Were you using like a hack RF, or were you using a specific reader, or did you look it up and find it online?
It's actually not quite that cool. It's to do it. Basically, I use my extra key, mm-hmm. pull the PCB out, wire it to a scanner that I RFID scanner, so I can then scan my hand that has my implant that I'm using at the time, mm-hmm. and then it activates the fob that is powered off my off the scanner and triggers the doors to open.
That is amazing.
Wait a minute. So you're using like a bus pilot or something?
It's a workaround. And then, yeah, it's a kit that you can get from DangerousThings.com.
Nice.
Yes, this is not a plug, even though, yes, they are considered a sponsor. This is something I picked up before they even talked to us about helping with our endeavors. But
you mean security endeavors? And yes, that was a plug.
Wow. Thanks, Iatic. Really? Come on.
Yeah. No, I'm cheesy. Have you not known? And sorry. No, Coop, go ahead.
And Shameless. Oh, darn. Shameless, same thing you could do by going to dangerousminds.io. Plug, no. Plug. What?
And the giant
anyway,
kitty.
Back to what we were talking about, kitty. Squirrel. If you don't know, there was a big red cat on the webcam. So, yes, shiny squirrel, what? Oh, speaking of squirrels. So, one thing that I did not get to share with at the last Saha that you missed also, Sciatic, because you're such a busy guy.
Well, I've truly overdone it, and I got stuck in a situation where I volunteered for something else, and I had to pay the piper. I had to pay the piper on that one, because I had to choose which event to go to, and there are six other people who are going to be looking for me. So I can still mess that event up, but it's not InfoSec-related, so I'm hoping to not screw that up. And then I can go back to being more InfoSec focused. Sorry.
No problem. We know we're not loved.
The guilt. Yeah,
back to on point.
You know that Coop and I had a talk about how we aren't loved. It was a co-op talk.
Oh my gosh.
I'm joking.
Not co-op, more like editorial.
Yeah. Op-ed. Little op-ed action there.
There you go.
So back to your squirrel. You were literally talking about a squirrel.
Yes, back to the squirrel. I was actually talking about a squirrel. An outtake from one of the recordings that we were talking to Tim Cannon. I cut it out. Everybody kind of wanted me to leave it back in, but I thought, no, let's keep this as like an Easter egg to share at conferences and talks.
Nice.
About adventures in podcasting, in which in the recording, one of my hosts kind of trails off and it gets quiet. And then the guest is like, did I lose y'all? Are you still there? and I answer back to him saying, no, I thought homeboy had a question for you. Are you there? Is it just us? So I can just edit it later and keep rolling with the questions.
Yep.
And he was just like, no, guys, there's a squirrel. He's like jumped onto the picnic table here and is staring at me. I'm kind of scared. And he totally picked up his laptop, turned around the webcam, and showed a squirrel.
Oh my gosh.
And at that point, I was kind of wishing I had kept the video, as I'm thinking about it now, that would be so much more entertaining than the audio of it. But, not going to talk about other audio clips I've shared before, like robot clones and Bill Gates that people thought were fake. And they might think that this podcast clip is fake, but yeah.
So
that's an Easter egg.
I am very curious, though, because you're not used, like, we use Skype, right? And we've tried, and we switched originally from Google Hangouts because we thought that might help RoboVesh. And which is me referring to the way that his connection occasionally kind of fades out a little bit and it just kind of breaks down. So the audio sounds really mechanical. However, instead, here's a different software package entirely that Coop has tried out. Now, is it an online service that you have to download clients for, like Skype, or what is it?
Yeah, it's a service kind of like Skype, where you can download clients and then pay monthly. If you don't do it, it's called Zoom.
Zoom,
Z-O-O-M, kind of like the evil guy and the Flash TV series. It's Zoom. Well,
I thought that was Zool, like with the marshmallow the Stay Puffed Marshmallow and
that's Ghostbusters.
That's Ghostbusters. This is not post Ghost Toasties. This is
Flash.
ZOOM.
Yes, this is on UPN.
Well, not and wow. Flash. Oh, so you're dating yourself. I don't think there's a UPN anymore. But it was at the time. No.
Yeah, there was at a time. I don't care what they call it now. No. I just watch it on Hulu anyway.
Right. No. So it's ZOOM, just like the audio gear, just like the character from Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes it different than either of the other services that we've used before?
It's got built in to the app audio, text, chat, and video recording. So I can have a full record of everything that happened during the podcast with the guest. Oh, but wow. I ditched the text, which is kind of creepy, and the video, which can be kind of awkward to have keep flashing between the host and the host that's asking the question at the time and mm-hmm. the guest. Yeah, that could be useful for a YouTube channel in the future, but it's not where I want to be. Plus, I like it mainly over Skype because Skype doesn't like Linux. In any way, shape, or form, we have found in our own recording of Saha Says that Skype and Linux don't get along because, well, Microsoft hates Linux, except for Ubuntu adding, their backwards tools to it. And I guess it's now available on Arch too. I don't know about Red Hat, but I don't like
Arch,
PowerShell on Linux.
It isn't available still. So previously tried last night. It's a GitHub project, and it's still not working to get Windows with Arch in it rather than Ubuntu. Oh. And did you guys hear the news about how Windows is actually switching to Ubuntu 16?
Yeah, actually, that I heard. That I heard, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
What's interesting about it is that Ubuntu 16, sorry for the tangent, but Ubuntu 16 is a really significant shift for Ubuntu because traditionally Ubuntu has been seen more as a stable, beginning operating system for Linux users.
Mm-hmm.
16 is showing that they're starting to go bleeding edge because they actually have finally switched to Linux kernel 4,
yep,
which the only other distros are Arch and Gentoo. So they're starting to become more bleeding edge, which I wonder how that's going to work with their user base.
So you can go and even the mate version of Ubuntu is using kernel 4 now, which kind of surprised me, but I just loaded it on a 10-year-old laptop, and that laptop is almost screaming. I mean, this is a Core Duo, not a Core 2, it's a Core Duo machine from 2006 with 2 gigs of RAM in it, and it's fine.
It worked better with Arch.
Yes, but I still haven't gotten over my fear of Arch, because I can still drop Mate onto the thing, or I can drop Ubuntu or Mint or whatever, anything that's Debian based but a little more curated, like community curated, or at least in a different way. So yes, it's not as leet, I admit. It is just simple, but it works out of the box, man. It's kind of easy.
Kind of like the Apple product in your pocket. It just works.
More or less. And the thing is, because taking on the task, I'm admitting right now, look, it's super simple to just get going. That doesn't mean it's the best one. It just means it's the one that's the easiest way to get other people to use it, too. Because I rebuilt someone else's old laptop in Mate 32, and they said, well, the reason I got this laptop, because someone gave it to them. They said, I want to use this laptop, and I want to watch Netflix on it. So I downloaded Chromium, because I thought you could. Well, guess what? Not on the 32-bit version. Found out through some research the rather arcane AMD chip that's in this thing is 64-bit capable. It was running 32-bit Windows Vista at the time when it was given to me.
What? Vista?
Yeah, so I wiped the thing and put Mate 64 on it now, and it actually still flies because it has only 3 gigs of RAM, and it actually performs really well because it's Mate 64, so I put proper Google Chrome on it, and all the DRM stuff works fine. So the person who wanted it is going to have a machine that runs with a completely free OS that has enough similarities between the interface that they'll be able to just use it for what they want it for. And look, that's one more Linux user in the world who thinks that it works fine. And that's that's more than we had before.
Have you seen the Windows 10, skin for Ubuntu? I think it's Ubuntu anyway, for Linux in general. It looks just like Windows 10. It's fucking hilarious.
Okay,
I'm going to start trolling people with
it. I've got to go look for it. Well, see, now that's a red team move right there. That's a red team move. Is to listen to that. She actually tee-heed. You heard it here. I have never heard Pinky tee-hee. That is an evil laugh from her. You need to be careful if you hear this from Pinky.
I am not capable of being evil. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for confirming. Yeah. So if you have the fear, like the old phrase, fear the cute ones. Yeah. She holds up the little red kitty pillow that makes you think, no, she's just no. No.
Yeah, what you didn't know, there's a 38 special in that kitty.
Yeah, I don't want to see how she gets into the cat. So, okay, back to Zoom and the recording ability, which is cool because as much as I enjoy using Skype because it works pretty well, I don't believe there's a way to record the video out of, I'm sure there must be a way and someone could tell us because I just haven't spent the time to learn, but I don't see a way to do it, and Zoom does it, which is kind of cool.
It's probably a third-party app you can do to capture the video, much like you can do audio through Skype. It's just so much easier when it's fully packed, and then I output it to a file and throw it into Audacity and clean it up.
Yeah. Oh, so that's where you're transcoding. You talked about transcoding earlier. You're using FFmpeg to strip the audio out and actually result and get the resulting...
Well, it automatically transcodes it to three files.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a video and audio, audio only, and then the text chat for your records if you so desire.
Huh.
And then I trash two of the files, throw the audio only into Audacity, clean it up, and then export it out of there to an MP3.
Oh my gosh, you just gave... See, now there's the answer. So the brain sometimes backburners things, as you know, and OBS, Open Broadcast... software project. That's what Iron Geek uses to record conference video. And if you don't give it a stream feed to put out, you can actually capture what's on the screen in a window, the screen in a window that you define the size and shape of. So actually, I could do the live dump while everything else is running, including Skype and the chat room and everything. I could grab all of that with OBS and dump that out. But I'm not willing to try to shoehorn that into our hosting service to download, because that would be massive comparatively. Not to mention the fact that I really don't want people to see the horrific things the faces we make, the gestures we share. Oh,
and the fact that some of us don't wear pants while recording.
Hey.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, I'm not going to adjust the camera to prove one way or the other. I'm just not.
Our listeners, you know, our subscribers who are so dedicated to us, tweet us at SATXHackers on Twitter. If you really want to see our video, we can probably figure it out if we have enough of a, you know, demand. But otherwise, you'll never see these inside jokes.
This is true.
Hear that, or you can definitely add it as a hashtag of C-Sciatics proper pants.
I'm concerned now.
Yes, after all, I've been hanging out with two guys from the UK way too much through dangerousminds.io. Yes, that's a plug. I picked up a few sayings, not just from the fact that my wife watches too much Doctor Who.
Hey.
Yes. So you mean pants in the UK are not jeans, but proper pants or something entirely.
Proper pants.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm concerned. So
you should be.
Whatever, Whovian.
does that make it my turn then to chat about things that have been going on?
Yeah. Yes. What have you been doing, Mr. Sciatic Nerd?
Well, thank you for asking. So one of the many things that has been kind of absorbing time, aside from kind of catching up with family stuff, there's been a lot of kind of working out the fall con schedule, and going to DerbyCon was a big part of that for me. And I got nervous because I skipped last year because of a lot of silly reasons, which are in the past now. So aside from, wow, that's amazing. That's really interesting. I wish you could actually see this, but not really, because this already has an explicit rating, and whatever that was just there, I'm not sure how to quantify that. Anyway, so DEF CON, you heard about, we did some catching up. Normally those are blue, sir. I'm concerned that you only have one. And how is that detachable? I know you're a body hacker, but that really shouldn't be something you can just pick up and put on a webcam. I'm just saying. And so,
He just threw it!
Yeah, you see, he did. Now he's lost one. And okay, Solo. No. So,
oh.
don't make noises like that on air. That doesn't sound right. Look, so I got to go to DerbyCon, and one of the things that I really enjoy about going to con is meeting other people and getting to reconnect. And some of the really awesome people I have not gotten to see, because if you've been to DEF CON, you're aware that it's just oodles of people. It's too busy. It's too difficult to really connect sometimes. The only way to do it is to get away from the main crowd and go spend time with the people that you're looking to spend time with, which can be really difficult to schedule because everybody's going in 1,000 directions at once. So for me, it was awesome to get to spend some time with folks at Derby where it's not as crowded. I mean, there are around 2,400 people, which is still a lot of people. But compared to the, 15,000 plus of DEF CON, it seems minuscule. So it was a lot more close contact with folks, and I was able to catch up with the video crew that I've worked with some of the folks in the past, right? But getting to catch up and discuss other things just made that really a lot worthwhile, just to figure out and reconnect with people, like a pen test fail. And an Iron Geek and others, because I got invited through a connection through Cybernigma. So if you're a Saha goer, you know who Cybernigma is. He actually ran into, because the place to be if you're at DerbyCon is the bar. It is kind of like the central. If you play Destiny, it's like going to Tower. Everybody is at LobbyCon, and the bar at the Louisville Hyatt is front and center, where you're going to pass by everybody, because that's where you are detoxing from a talk or waking up in the morning or winding down at night. It's all happening there. He ran into Brian Brake from Breaking Down Security Podcast. They were doing a podcaster meetup. So that's where last week's episode for Saha Says came from. I got invited from that from that crossing of paths. I don't know if they knew each other before that or not. But I got connected with and very thankful. Thanks go out to Cybernigma for making that contact. And then I was able to meet up with a bunch of other podcasters. And to see that list, you should check out the Breaking Down Security Podcast, because I bet you they've got the full list in their show notes. And it had everyone from Amanda Berlin to Mr. Betcher and Brian Brake himself and everybody. And that's where I learned about Secure West Virginia, which is Bill's Gardner's podcast. I mean, just again, great, great group of folks. And so I got to participate in this group of which might actually lead to some guest spots in both directions. So that was exciting for me. And I saw a device that made me kind of go gaga. And it's a Zoom product. Now, not the same Zoom company that Coop was talking about. It's actually the guys who make the audio gear. And they have a basically 5 or 6 track recorder. It's a portable thing that runs on a battery, and it actually supports 6 proper microphones. And my head, it just about exploded, because it would fit in your pocket. Okay, a big pocket. It would fit in my vest pocket. How about that?
I don't think it could fit anything in my pocket, so that's a good, thing to add in.
Okay.
Well, that's because you're a girl.
No one knew that, Coop. Goddamn.
Girls' pants don't. Their
girls
pockets
don't
are fake.
Exist on the internet, Coop.
Fake
on the
pockets?
Internet, therefore, I don't exist.
Or you're talking about InfoSec.
You
right?
Could be a unicorn.
I am probably a magical unicorn.
It's probably so.
You were in the Squatty Potty commercial?
No.
Yes, I was.
Stupid Squatty Potty ad. I have.
That was a basic ad.
So back to the vest.
Yeah,
of holding what?
Yeah, the vest of holding.
Have you ever put a vest in a pocket of your vest and then seen the world melt away?
Thankfully, no, we haven't had that kind of terrifying event yet. We haven't had that catastrophic moment where you try to put the portable hole in the bag of holding. There it is. See, I almost lost my nerd cred there for a second.
But then, if you take the portable hole, put it in the bag of holding, put the bag of holding in your vest of many pockets, what will happen?
Probably black holes and chocolate cupcakes. It'll be terrifying. So
your vest holds everything.
Well, I have actually came back from DerbyCon with a record number of shirts, even over the week of B-Sides and DEF CON. I came back with 7 shirts. And that's just, that's crazy town for me. That's a lot of shirts. But aside from that, this
fit in your vest.
Yes, actually I fit 3 or 4 of them in the vest on one day. So I was walking around so heavily insulated and it was hot anyway. Plus, you know, it wasn't staying hydrated all that well, I guess. And it added up pretty fast. So by the end of a day, you know, you can't soak through the vest because the vest is non-permeable, at least part of it is. So it just gets uncomfortable. In fact, Iron Geek stopped wearing his because of it, and I think he's moved on to one of these Maxpedition sling bags. I don't know if you've heard of Maxpedition, but of the tactical...
Yes, I have one.
So
it doesn't work well with well-fed individuals, though.
So. Oh, dear. Okay, well, then I might just stick to the vest, then. Because Iron...
Or you can do like me and try and work on no longer being well-fed.
Yeah, that's something I really do need to work on.
Saha says challenge, lose weight.
Yes, that's a challenge.
Let's biohack it.
That's what Nathan Dirtyman Ingalls was.
Thing to say.
Oh, what's that?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be trying Soylent, not Soylent Green,
yeah.
But basically the Linux of food.
It is the Linux of food.
So wish me luck.
I'm going to give you a documentary to watch first before you ingest that so you can think about that.
I already thought about it, man.
Did you already buy it?
Yeah, it's on the way for 1 month. We're going to see how it goes.
Okay. Okay, so I want... Okay, can we please have a Soylent update next podcast,
yes.
Please?
Yes.
I would love to see this. Now, okay, so wait. Back to a couple of other strange happenings. So I frequent pawn shops in San Antonio because you never know what you're going to come across. So a random stop in a pawn shop resulted in... Oh, there, see, Coop's got a commercial product there that's actually supposed to be cool for a, yeah, okay, those are very different products. Both beverages, but you know, one's more protein-oriented and the other is more sudsy-oriented. Hey, okay, okay, so if we're doing that there, so this is a, there you go, this is a Shure SM58, which is like, according to my audio friends, somewhat like one of the most standard microphones you will ever find. And I found this at a pawn shop at an amazingly decent deal, so I'm very pleased. And that's kind of the thing, is finding these tools that you use in remote podcasting events. And that's kind of a hint on what I would like to do, because Coop has asked before, Pinky seems to be willing, and now we just have to convince Vesh, who was unable to be with us this evening, to actually try. And I would like us to try... pitching to upcoming local cons to see if they would let us do a live event and see if it's possible. You guys interested? Would you be willing to do that?
To
do what?
Say it again. He's basically wanting us to do live podcasts at local cons. I would not be available for B-Sides DFW because I'm going to be at an actual pen testing competition at RIT.
Oh, wow.
From November 4 to 6. But other than that, we can try to make it. I would love to do that.
Well, I was thinking we would actually pitch it as a concept to InfoSec Southwest.
That's
next April or March, something like that.
Yeah, we should do that. And if it works out well, we should totally try for B-Side San Antonio.
Well, I would love
to. Yeah, I think we know a guy, you know, with that.
Yeah.
I know. Seriously, I think we have an end, guys. I mean...
That might be our lunchtime actual entertainment. I don't know if we want to do that instead to try to do that with...
So we would that work out so well.
So it's actually kind of a combination of, because I still want to do the Turbo Talks, but I don't know that I want to do them during lunch. So this would make
I wouldn't do it during lunch. Just do it separate as just a normal talk.
Right.
Do it during beer time. Have the beer with the Turbo Talks.
Sure. Maybe we do that at the end.
Or beer with the podcast.
Well,
that'd be even better.
We'll actually show up then.
Well,
hell yes.
Okay, calm down. We have to. There are some rules apparently we have to play with.
You know, if I buy a keg, can I, you know, record Dangerous Minds during beer time?
Well, so if you sponsor a keg, well, so the money, yeah, anything, we'd have to discuss that with the nice folks at our hosting venue at St. Mary's, because we have to go. There are rules about how we have to obtain things, but that's certainly something we can put on the table. I'm open to a lot of concepts, but. The point is, if we did a live event, you know, remote here or there, and that way we kind of tie it together, right? So we do this live thing during that, and we can interact with folks if they want. And if not, we'll just have a mixer board and our stuff, and we'll do the job. and it'll just be fun. It'll just be us.
And we have to wear pants.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if I like this concept anymore.
Well, so you're not required to wear pants, but the garment of your choice that is allowed in public. Which could mean light up pants. So, hey, look.
Let's have a pajama party, guys. Pajama party.
So it like is a theme this year, pajama. So I was amazed that they let us stretch to get 3D printing on the docket for this year. I don't know that I want to push for pajama onesie day at B-Sides. So, okay. So this is a separate issue. So of the other things that were going on, I'm actually presenting at LastCon this year, the same weekend as, as B-Sides DFW. So I will not be in attendance for the first time ever. I have attended every single other B-Sides DFW, and I volunteered, and they're a wonderful group of folks and a worthwhile effort for sure. But unfortunately, this time around, I'm going to be tied up at and presenting. So that plus the fact that I can't believe they're on the same weekend. That just kind of blew my mind. I've never seen that before. But anyway, so that's a lot of what I've been doing is actually working on that, and I got obsessed with blinky lights. Really obsessed. While I was at, there's an Look at me, all these ums. Now I know I have to go back and look at these when I go to edit tonight. That's just shameful. While I was at,
you can fix it in post.
Thank you. By the way, that made everybody cringe and shout and throw things at the meetup, the podcaster meetup at DerbyCon. So at DerbyCon, also, I got over my remainder fear of soldering. And I went and got a kit, and if you follow on social media, I posted it everywhere. It was a little kit that the guys at Level 1 Hackerspace in Louisville were willing, you know, the cool guys, Blenster and friends, they actually do something called blinkybling.org, and it's just a couple of those little WS2812s, I think they are, the full RGB addressable LEDs. And they actually make them, and they're kind of like the wafer LED plugins that you put in any battery, any rechargeable battery, and, you know, has a USB port on it, and then it just glows, right? If you've ever seen those, and you can adjust the candle watt power or whatever of the official flashlights, this is different. It just blinks. That's all it does. It's like mini oomps. So what I did is I actually oomped up my laptop. I have these little adjustable USB right angle toys. And I plugged in to my USB ports on my Linux laptop. I plugged in my Unce lights. I call them Unce lights. That's what I'm saying. Because I think it's actually appropriate to start all stories now with Unce upon a time. So I think that adding the Unce was worthwhile. So I went ahead and I'm enjoying the Unce. It's good. The Unce is fun. And it actually doesn't irritate my coworkers because they sit far enough away. And so I get to have my own personal Unce space. And it's good. It's kind of like a little mini... A mini rave at your laptop. That's just corny as heck, isn't it? Isn't that just terrible?
Not as bad as what Coop just said in the chat. Come on.
Wait, then I haven't scrolled down. That's what I'm missing. Oh, look, there is a lot more happening here.
Once upon a time on a pen test.
This sounds like the beginning to a Method Man song.
Or maybe a new segment. You never know.
Well, so that's actually something. So, pen testing. It turns out there's a strong community there, but there aren't a heck of a lot of resources, although it turns out Pentest Wiki is kind of, it's hard to maintain. There was actually if you know Forgotten Sec does, he used to contribute a great deal to it, but it's hard to get students now to contribute. It turns out if you keep up with the folks who are here, the people who are willing to step out of their shells far enough to, like, meet other people. No, not those shells. The actual social shells. Seashells by the seashore. Yeah, other shells. Hard shells, just like Coop said. And bin bash. Nice. I prefer T-shell. I'm old, okay?
Do you need your cane, old man?
Hey, get off my lawn, you silly kids, you whippersnappers. I tell you,
why are there so many tunes about podcasts? No. So, back from the dead. That's where we are.
Not easy being green? What?
It's not easy when you can't get a shell. It's not easy being blue either. But apparently it's a lot of fun being red, or so I've been told. Especially if you're on the side of the... if you're on the right side of the slash. Don't type that. No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Have you heard of, as the chat room is currently obsessed with deleting things and destroying file structures. So we're going to talk about little Bobby tables. if you don't know that, use your search engine to look up little Bobby tables and how he dropped things. Never mind. That's an old school tale, that you probably have heard from other places. So I missed Saha this last month. So how did it go? Anybody? Bueller? Did
crickets.
So was that the drink that you guys served were crickets? I just don't know.
No. So we had Besh talked. I arrived late because of traffic, and so did Coop. So I don't think either of us have a lot to say there. Just, you know, Coop's from San Marcos. I'm from UTSA. And hello, 1604 and 10. Oh, and yeah. Then 10 and 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, for November, since the meeting is coming up on the 6th of November, set aside some time. Maybe if you have an opportunity, head on down to come say hi. We're at the Geekdom Event Center downtown in San Antonio, and we would love to get a chance to meet and say hi and talk to you and get some feedback from you. Or you can check us out, of course, at SATX Hackers. Also, if that's not good enough, we do have a website, SATXHackers.org. The funny thing is, we're called Saha, but that's not what our handles are online. Of course, I am Sciatic Nerd or at Sciatic Nerd. And Coop, what is your handle online?
It's Cooper_7 on Twitter.
And Pinky?
You can find me on Twitter as Pink Panther. That's Pink_Panther. And add Leet Speak as you will.
Well, that'll be fun. And see, I actually had to go on a quest for a name because there are a lot of really neat names that are already taken. And so I guess that's probably how you wound up with that 7, or was the 7 for some other designator for you, Coop?
Yeah, somebody else had Cooper, so I figured I'll just add a 7 on it, because biblically 7 tends to mean complete.
Nice. Well, there you go. So not semicolon, then. It's a biblical reference. Okay. Not to mention, yeah. I don't think Twitter would probably let you put semicolons in.
I wonder why.
Yeah, right? That goes back to that story about little Bobby drop tables.
Did you fork bomb it?
Sorry, go ahead.
I actually have one little tidbit to add.
Sure.
So, this is a, you know, shameless plug like you guys have done. But UTSA yesterday actually just finished competing in a kind of mini CCDC conference or competition called CDC, the, you know, Cyber Defense Competition.
Oh.
It was actually held in Iowa, and we were able to compete from remotely.
Oh, how cool.
So, you actually had a month to prepare. It's unlike CCDC in that regard, where you get your boxes beforehand, you defend them, you set up, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We started a week before because, let's be honest, geeks and procrastination.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a really interesting thing. Like, I think we can agree a lot of competitions are more Windows, you know, based. You know, Windows is the easier one to exploit and crap. We only had one Windows box, and our Linux boxes were exploited to hell.
Really?
So it was fun. It really was. They weren't really sneaky with it, but like if you viewed the mailbox on roots for each box, you would see that they put in malicious dynamic libraries, for example. And if you tried getting rid of them while you're tired, you know, running off 2 hours of sleep a week, or a day, whatever, same difference in my mind right now, you stupidly forget how to remove them. And they were hiding things like your Etsy host name. They were messing with your networking, things like that. There was a few other things, and they just had all these unnecessary services running. And we actually missed a few, which led to some fun stuff during the competition. We held first for a majority of the competition, even though we technically couldn't compete because we were remote. We were a guest division.
Oh.
So we actually completed in fourth. If we got the full scoring like the rest of the teams did, which is fair, we were remote, we weren't actually there in person. This was supposed to be a college level, you know, a bunch of teams. So we didn't get the priority on scoring. But if we did, we probably would have played second or first. So
wow.
It was a fun overall defense competition. And having another one in February and then another one in March. So I just wanted a little shout out to them. It was Ice Age. So it's, you know, I-S-E, A-G-E, rather than, you know, any other spelling you might think of.
So wait. So it was a bit... Ice Age, or spell that again?
It was Ice Age, I-S-E, and then Age, A-G-E. So if you're in college, keep an eye out. You might be able to get invited, pester them, email them, and they might be willing to at least have you as a guest if you're not in Iowa.
So is that – so is ISEAGE, Ice Age there, or however it's pronounced, is there a calendar for pen tests that you guys know about or online competitions? Have you come across anything?
So the only pen test competition I've heard of is one we got invited by for RIT, and that's actually November. Registration is closed by end of September. I didn't have enough time to broadcast it, but it's the only pen test competition I heard of, and it's an actual pen test. Like, come October 13th, we're actually getting a request for a proposal.
Oh, wow.
Where we are actually going through all the stages of where we receive it, and we're going to have to write back a documentation. We're being flown out, thanks to UTSA. November 4th through 6th, RIT is providing the lodging and meals. Thank you, RIT.
Wow.
And we're actually going through the whole actual pen test experience, you know. We're going to only have a day to work with it, and that's going to be on a Saturday. Sunday, we actually go through the debrief with the sea levels, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through what we found, et cetera. So I am excited. If you guys have tips for the UTSA team, please let me know.
Yeah, and that's to the community. That's not just between us, the people yammering on this podcast.
No, because this is I think we're the only Texas university going. Last year was their first year, and it was only like, you know, the Northeast schools. Then this year they invited everyone. They got a bunch of people from California and whatnot, and we just got invited by chance.
Well, so it's really a wonderful thing to believe that people actually knew about it, or that, you know, I mean, by chance. How can you say that's by chance? It's not at random. It's not like they picked UTSA out of a hat or something. Is it?
Honestly, it could be the fact that we've been, you know, in the news lately for best cybersecurity. I mean, we're number 2 for master's program, number 1 for undergraduate since 2013, I think.
Wow.
So it could be that. But I honestly don't know. Our CCDC coach, Merrick, is actually a former RIT graduate, so it could be that as well.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. Well, so the excuse me. So after all of this and discussing where we've been and what we've been up to, I feel it's important to mention that we are going to be back next week. And so I'm committing now. I'm saying we'll be on next week. And we're going to have another episode tonight. After we hang up, I'm basically going to slap on some music and post this thing. So if you find your subscription drags a little bit, it's because our host is a low-cost solution. But rest assured, you'll have your episode. I may actually delay posting till tomorrow just so the subscribers who got the early September episode I posted today can get the file tomorrow without any hangups. Because I believe if I let it lapse to the next day, it won't count against my download rate. So, hey, it's a startup, right? This is not a very funded endeavor. This is a labor of love. And we appreciate that you're willing to listen. Do you guys have any other ways that you want to mention how people can find you and what you're up to, starting with Coop? Do you have any current projects and things you want to mention?
Well, as far as projects, really, the only thing that you can really look at online is either go to the Facebook page or to www.dangerousminds.io and find stuff there. My own personal page that I've put up a while ago. I haven't updated since long before DEF CON. So, yeah, going to iamtech.support would be kind of a joke at this point.
It's not, though, because this is a well worthwhile human being who is looking for employment. He's got a lot of skills and a lot of heart to offer. It's just that he's looking for that first big InfoSec break. So, people, iamtech.support, please. Check out Coop. He is open and available in the San Marcos area, which means he's in the perfect spot to go either into Austin or down to San Antonio. So take a moment to check him out. Pinky, how about yourself?
For me, you know, typically I'm being involved in CCDC. We're starting with a pen test competition, and we're doing practices every Friday, Saturday. We've had some great Saha people show up to help out with the Red Team. We are working on getting a VPN solution for those who can't come locally. If you can show up locally, we'd appreciate it. Shoot me an email at csacompetitions@gmail.com or come to, you know, tweet me on Twitter, whatever. I'll find you either way as long as you reach me. And otherwise, just thanks everyone for supporting our team. I will not be here on the next podcast. It's actually going to be my birthday, so I will be bailing out.
Whoa. You age? I didn't think that was possible. I thought you just like have revisions and patches.
That's what I thought too, but someone told me that was not acceptable, and I got a nice long lecture about it. So it's not just going to be, you know, pinky version, how old I am. It's going to be an actual birthday. Oh. I don't know what the fuck's going on there.
So when's the beta release of pinky version?
I'm a rolling release. Therefore, there is no beta. I'm constantly in a beta. Thank you.
Nice. Oh, so you're a rolling release then?
Nice. Yes, I'm like Arch.
Oh, you're agile. Oh, boy.
What about you, Sciatic?
Well, so people can you can look at my pages that are really out of date because that's why I'm laughing. Coop was kind enough to mention that there's a Facebook page for Dangerous Minds and that he has his own imtech.support. Well, I have ctechastronomy.com. And, yeah, I actually haven't updated that thing in so long. I'm pretty sure it's got dust on it. So, the Dangerous Minds site, I'm sorry, was dangerousminds.io. And I'm wondering, is there actually a Facebook, Coop, you were mentioning the Facebook page. Is there a special way to find that, or is it just Dangerous Minds, all one word? Do you know?
Might be Dangerous Minds Podcast. Don't quote me on it. Let me take a look.
Well, while you're taking
a look, I can click on it and, see what it says. Oh, Facebook.com/Dangerous Minds Podcast, all one word.
Oh, there.
And it'll take you right to it. Duh.
Awesome. So the humor to me is that in all of the silliness and the things that I'm busy with, not so much of it is actually visible to people. But the thing that spurred me on was the podcaster meetup to get Security Endeavors back up and running the way it should be. So in the next couple of weeks, you'll see new episodes from the backlog of recordings that there are, so that I can actually get that pushed out. So it's got to come back online, and it's got to get rolling here. I'm also currently working on my talk on the history of digital signatures for LastCon. And, of course, you can find me at Sciatic Nerd on Twitter. So thank you so much for the awesome listenership, and thank you for joining us. Now, we do want to give a shout-out to our friends both at Saha, who get together with us and we talk and hang out and spend time with, but also our friends at AHA. That's the Austin Hackers Anonymous group. And they meet once a month. I'm not sure when their meetup is. Did you have that on hand there, Coop?
Yeah, it's last Thursday of the month at Mr. Tramps there in Austin. And yeah, actually the name of it kind of been a rolling joke. Speaking of rolling releases, often enough you can find T-shirts and hoodies that say either Austin Hackers Association, Austin Hackers Anchovies, Austin Hackers Anonymous.
Oh my goodness.
Austin Hecklers Association.
That's a great one.
That's actually pretty funny.
We should adopt that. We should steal it.
What, you want to be Austin Hackers Association?
No, we should be San Antonio Hecklers Association. Oh,
well, yeah, I guess that might just make a little bit more sense. Just a scotch.
Just a little.
Scotch? Did you say scotch?
Just a tip.
Oh, no, hey, just a tip. No, you did not go back.
Yes, I did. Remember, everyone, we are banned from mentioning the other singles.com, but you should totally check out HillarySingles.com or Feel the Burn, you know, similar ones.
Really? Really?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, it's much better than, you know, JohnsonSingles.com. Jill Johnson.
I just want my red stapler, okay?
It'll out. Just a tip. Just a tip.
No, somehow that sounds like it's the beginning of a rap song, and I don't want to know what kind of rap core that would be. Anyway, oh, no, just, oh, gosh, my eyes. I need eye bleach. Well, at this point, I'm not sure if that's supposed to be. Are you, like, dealing with moose over there, some kind of elk? What is it you're doing?
You know exactly what he's dealing with, Sciatic.
Well,
be quiet.
Well, okay, then that's probably.
I'm dealing with distractions.
Dealing with distractions. The new movie by Coop. _7
I'll make sure to make a guest appearance in that movie.
And FreeBSD will be hilarious.
Indeed.
Indeed. So actually, you can just find me on Twitter and say hi if you want. And, you know, it's all about the internet points, apparently, because we are just rolling off the cuff. But thank you very much for joining. Have I forgot anything, guys? Is there any other plugs we need to make or say that I've not actually caught here? If not, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you for participating. And we'll see you next time. Oh, by the way, we do need to actually have a website. Now, the humorous part of that is, we actually do. It's on the SATXhackers.org page, but it's not populated. So that's the OB hack of the week, is if you can write to that page, you win. There's the OB hack of the week.
Can you make it pretty?
Yeah, because I've got to find out how to get access to that page, because I don't actually have control of
that page.
Could
you give us the creds?
Can you
just tweet us the creds?
Yeah, there you go. That'll be good. Yeah, well, we'll have to hit up Ivory Wolf and ask him to help us out with that. All right, guys, you have a good weekend and good week, and we will see you next time.
And, oh, that's terrible. Started puking before recording. Well, you know, right when I was about to start the intro, I heard this.
Oh!
I was like, oh my God.
Are you okay?
And I was like, did somebody just puke?
Oh, yeah.
I was over in the other room. I'm surprised you heard that. I was like,
We hear all. You have a microphone. It does not suck.
Your kidney, because holy crap, that was loud.
Your kidneys?
Yeah, he ended up saying, okay, I'll catch y'all next week. Because he's like, no, I can do it. I can do it. It's like, no, you're not.
No. At that point, you're nearly dead.
And so about this biohacking thing, blech. Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have been an additional side of, you know, nice sound effects, Coop.
Mm.
No.
Fresh and tasty.
We do enough fixing in post. And that's why Vashti's not one of my co-hosts, because he might be going. He's complained about the videos being gross.
Gross? What's gross about them?
Implantation.
Oh yes. Well, no. That is a hazard of what you're doing.
It is a podcast. So I mean, come on. It's not like we're recording video. Are you?
Well, I'm not.
I can't.
They are. No, I thought you guys were doing video.
I can, because the app I use records video, but I usually trash it after I'm done transcoding it.
Then why bother transcoding it? I'm confused.
Well, the Zoom records in two files, and then click it to then transcode it to MP3, and it separates it into video, audio only, and then text log as well.
Wow.
That'd be hilarious to see.
Yeah, the conversation and text, it's all recorded. I could totally.
Is it accurate?
I want to actually have this in our podcast. Hang on. I want to actually catch up and actually do what reality is and say, hi, this is my fault, and we'll pick back up. So let's be honest about what this is. I'll switch headphones so I'm on the right set, because this is the backup device headset.
So, in other words, you want this discussion of the app during of all this. And the podcast, I'm
because
guessing.
It's what we've learned. It's what we've. Yeah. It's what part of what we've been doing.
Learning.
Since
it's
we've
what
been
I've
gone.
Been doing. It's actually.
And
kind
I thought
of funny.
That actually might be kind of cool to have.
Uh-huh. I like how you keep talking, even though you can't hear us. So we could have been saying all sorts of shit, and you would have just been going with it.
Well, you know, I have no choice, because really, I'm at your mercy and you're at mine, just a little bit. There's a high pitched whine in my right ear coming off of one of the lines.
I just if you noticed anything.
Oh my God.
I didn't see that. I turned away. Ah, what are you doing? Oh, wait. Were you on a farm? Were you just on a farm? Was that? That's not biohacking. That's something else.
That's called social engineering.
And then.
Oh dear.
It's social engineering.
What are you? So
middle out.
Okay, so I'm gonna actually call for 10 seconds or less of silence, and I'm gonna do just an intro so we can actually pretend like this is somehow normal.
What is normal?
Normal in this group? It doesn't happen.
I know. And so I want to catch up and actually have a conversation. So here we go. 10 seconds of quiet, followed by a fairly relaxed intro.